Every week for the last couple of weeks, I've been giving a shout out to certain people. We gave a shout out to teachers, and you know, this week, again, was National Teacher Appreciation Week. We gave a shout out to nurses and doctors and paramedics, all the first responders in the midst of this pandemic who represent the very best of us in the front lines. This week was actually, I think it was Wednesday, was National Appreciation Nurses Day, a day that traditionally the nurses' hands are blessed. Today I'd like to give a shout out to our priests and deacons who continue to serve in all of our parishes, finding all sorts of ways that weren't familiar to some of them, streaming and all these words that our young people are so used to doing, and working iPads and iPhones and cameras, but they do it because they want to remain connected to you. We all do long for the moment in which we could come back together. I want to thank people who write to me every week expressing their thoughts and their longing to come together to celebrate the Eucharist. Know that all the bishops of the state of Pennsylvania, as well as here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, are working constantly with civic officials to discuss when that's going to happen and how it's going to happen and what we are allowed to do and how we're doing it. So it's in progress, and hopefully real soon we'll be able to do that. Quiero en forma especial esta mañana felicitar a todas nuestras mamás, las que están con nosotros y las que se unen a nosotros hoy desde el cielo, dándole gracias a Dios por el don de la maternidad y por el don de nuestra madre, a todas ustedes que caminan con nosotros, que nos aman, que nos acompañan y que interceden diariamente en sus oraciones por cada uno de nosotros, sus hijos e hijas. Muchas gracias por su don y muchas gracias por su gran amor. Que este día sea un día de felicidad para todas ustedes. Quiero reconocer en particular hoy a nuestros hermanos sacerdotes y diáconos que continúan buscando un sinnúmero de maneras creativas para llegar al pueblo a través de la misa, a través de las computadoras y los medios sociales. Hoy el Evangelio nos presenta esa bella frase de Jesús: que no dejen que sus corazones se turben, sino que tengamos fe en el Padre y fe en Jesús, ¿no? Es el lugar a donde encontramos cada uno de nosotros refugio en los momentos a donde se turba el corazón, a donde el corazón entra en conflicto. Esas palabras de Jesús recordándonos de nuevo a dónde se encuentra en realidad la paz y la tranquilidad. So the gospel today begins with a declaration, but in a certain way it's also a question. So if there's one thing that is common among all of us, is that from time to time, sometimes more often than others, our hearts are troubled. And they get troubled about all sorts of things. Some things are actually worthy of our troubled hearts. Sometimes they're not. And we get troubled about the littlest things. And then we say to ourselves, why did I let this little thing have such power over me? But the fact is that there are significant things in our lives that trouble us. These words in the Gospel of John represent his last discourses, his last words to his apostles before he died. And their hearts were troubled because Jesus began to speak to them about the fact that he wouldn't be with them much longer. And so their hearts were troubled. What does that mean? Someone that was close to them. We would probably have the same reaction, right? If someone that was very close to us would begin to talk to us about, you know, I'm not going to be with you much longer. My days are numbered. remember this when I'm not here. We don't like that talk. And we would actually shut that talk down. We don't like, those are hard conversations to have. And so we could certainly understand that the apostles' hearts are troubled. Our hearts are troubled too. In the midst of life being changed as we understood it. For many of us, our hearts sank again this past Thursday when it was announced that we have another month of stay-home order. And what does that mean? People are starting, like you and I, beginning to now get antsy about all this stuff. Our hearts are troubled. And so we all understand what it means when our hearts are troubled. It's not a good place to be. It really is not a good place to be. So the gospel will ask you and I today, when our hearts are troubled, where do we go? Where do we go? What do we do? How do we react? Where do we go to find solace for a troubled heart? Some places we ordinarily go to are good places. We go to family and friends and we share our frustrations and we share our troubled soul, and it's important to be listened to. That's a good place to go. And we all know who are the trusted people in our lives that we go to when our hearts are troubled. Then there are places that we go when our hearts are troubled that might not be so great. You know what they are. We all have our patterns. We all have our favorite little dark places that we go and hang around in when our hearts are troubled. Some people drink, some people eat, some people play. Some people go into worlds of resentment and anger and holding things, not letting them go, lack of forgiveness. And wow, are those places, and we're all familiar with them, right? Those places really then take a troubled heart and make it sink even deeper. We've been there, right? All of us. You know what I'm talking about. When troubled hearts brings us to anger and to lashing out, oftentimes to the people we care most about and we love and we want to support, and those are the people we end up hurting, the ones who want to support us, because we, in our troubled hearts, we go to these dark places of anger and resentment and lashing out. And we know that those places don't work. They just don't work. We actually feel worse afterwards. This gospel today, Jesus tells us where ultimately is a good place. In fact, Jesus says he's going to prepare for us a good place. Not only a good place when we have to meet him at the end of our journey, not just that good place, thank God for that place of eternity, but there's a good place right here and now that he also prepares for us when our hearts are troubled. The words of the gospel speak for themselves, right? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. So our faith is the first place where we take our troubled heart. Not anger and resentment, not unhealthy coping ways and mechanisms, but our faith in God, our faith in Christ himself. Knowing that he has prepared this little place for us. Sometimes that place takes the form of a quiet space in our home, right? Where we go with our favorite book of prayers and our rosaries and And we enter into communion with the Lord, asking Him to calm our troubled hearts. He is ultimately that place. He will say, I am that way. I am the truth. I am the life. That which you seek to calm your troubled heart might not be in the places that you're looking for, he says, because ultimately I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am that place. So the gospel calls you and I to ask ourselves, so when our hearts are troubled, and if they aren't today, they will be during the week, or next month, or in the next 6 months. Big troubles and little troubles. So when our hearts are troubled, where do we ordinarily go? Are they good places to go? And in the midst of this troubled heart, then listen to these words that we, I'm sure, have all heard a zillion times. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me, Jesus says, because he prepares a place for the soothing of our hearts. God bless you.